welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guests for today are CEO Phil Sitter and VP of Sales Chris Chominko of RepeatMD, a fintech and rewards platform working in the aesthetics and med spa industry. The company has scaled significantly over the past year or so, growing to a team of 50 employees and adding around 200 new businesses to its custom rewards platform monthly. Phil and Chris joined the show today to explain the perfect storm they're working in and what's next for the company. Phil, Chris, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. How's everything going?
It's been great. It's so exciting to catch up and hear about everything you've accomplished these past few years. It's been a minute since we've discussed RepeatMD. So I guess just to start, both of you, Phil, Chris, will each of you give me a little bit of background on your careers to date, how you got to RepeatMD, and Phil, how you came from a restaurateur to tech founder?
Yeah, of course. I'll go ahead and start. So Natalie, you and I have developed a relationship over the years just talking about the restaurants, right? So maybe some of the listeners have been to the restaurants, King's Beer House, Egg House Gourmet, King's Beer Garden in Pearland, League City, and so forth. And so, yeah, ultimately, I'm a fifth generation restaurateur. I'm from Vienna, Austria, right? So my dad and I moved from Austria in 1996. And my dad still has the accent, right? He still has the Lederhosen. He still has the accent. I have no accent. I still have Lederhosen though. And so we opened up the German restaurant in Pearland. And then we expanded King's Beer House in the Heights, Egg House, so forth, and started franchising that. And ultimately, how I got into tech was at the German restaurant when we were expanding and franchising. I asked myself, okay, well, one of the problems with, you know, future investors and people that were buying in the franchise is how do I make sure our retention rate, you know, our customer retention rate gets higher? Because we know that Houston is like the land of Tex-Mex. Right. And so no problem with retention when it comes to Tex-Mex. But when it comes to German food, I would ask you, like, how often do you think about eating German food? Right. So a lot of people, maybe for Oktoberfest, maybe when they want a goulash or something like that. But I wanted our customers to come in more often. And so I set out, just because I've always been interested in tech, to create a retention system that turned out to be an app and turned out to be a rewards app where you could get a free beer for signing up, and created VIP Insiders. And so when I was creating VIP Insiders, I said, okay, well, you know, this is pretty cool and it's working. How do I start licensing this out to other restaurants to help them with their retention? And so that's kind of how the idea of VIP Insiders started. We got some really pretty fast, we were successful as far as we got to about 600 locations pretty quickly. We started talking and partnering with all the alcohol companies to help them launch their future releases of products. And as we were building that momentum, and this was in 2019 when we started, you know, we started mid 2019 or end of 2019, you know, 2020 happened, COVID happened, and all of a sudden, all the restaurant clients that we had couldn't afford to pay us, or, you know, they weren't open for business, right? And so what we did at that point is we were part of the response. What we did is we were responsible for all those QR codes that you see at the menu at the restaurants today. So we had a service where we would build out the QR codes and try to give back to the restaurant community and so forth, thinking that if we do this, you know, down the road, that they would potentially become clients, right? So during that process, what we did from there was realized that the restaurant industry may never be the same. And we asked ourselves a question, like, who could be an ideal client, right? And so I'll pause from that story and we'll pick back up. And wanted to introduce Chris Chominko. He's our VP of sales here, and, you know, talk a little bit about his background as well.
Yeah. So, you know, what happened to me was Phil called me and I was crawling around inside of an attic. You know, I was selling roofs and windows, and I'm still crawling around the attic covered in spiders and rats. I had squandered millions of dollars in options trading and doing tech startups. So I lost all my money crawling around in these attics. Phil calls me and says, hey, you want an opportunity? And I had this great tech idea. And so I immediately put down my flashlight, took off my hard hat, got in my car, drove off and left. And I said, yes, I'll take the opportunity. That's not exactly how it went, but it feels pretty much how it went. And a lot of those stories are 100% true. You know, I did squander millions in options trading and failed tech startups. And then I know Phil has been a friend of mine, but really a successful entrepreneur. So whenever he called me with the opportunity, And knowing that I could bring something to the table, I said immediately, like, yes, let's do it. And so catching back up to everything that Phil said from, you know, the VIP and the restaurant space. And really, I found out that being in restaurants and attics are really about the same thing. The kitchen, whether it's the kitchen, you know, or being in the, you know, 120 degree attic, like it's still a boiler room environment. And, you know, with restaurants and hospitality, I think, you know, I love to eat at restaurants. Phil loves to create restaurants. So we both got that nice synergy there. And with that piece, though, we found out with the pandemic, like, hey, this is an industry that may never recover exactly the way it was before. And I think that's still, to the large part, true today. I still don't think restaurants are just fully embraced as they were. That, you know, and that's so true with like movie theaters and everything else. But we found our way because we had a technology that's really kind of industry agnostic, because what Philip figured out, being the kind of the marketing guru that he is and like self-trained, like Philip has really took it on himself to read thousands of books. You know, he gobbles up information like you want to believe. And he really understood consumer psychology at such a granular level that he helped create a product that was industry agnostic and could be used in, you know, whether like we had people that were in car repair reach out to us, you know, auto and car dealers and gyms. And then at some point I was at a party and I'm friends with the ENT here in Houston, Dr. Ben Salento. And he said, hey, I have a new med spa. You guys got to do this for me. So I said, Philip, it's the middle of a pandemic, right? We're the only people in our office. Like everybody else is abandoned. Everybody's working from home. We're still in the office, which, you know, we took a lot of pride in. And then of course we all got COVID. But so we're the only ones in the office working. And I go to him and I say, Philip, it's like, I need to make this for a med spa. And you have to understand, like 2 weeks before, I was like, we got to make this for a golf course. So he's like, no, please. But he's like, all right, let's do this. Let's try it out. And I think the rest is kind of history, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I guess to follow up on that, you know, what made you're considering all these industries, what made that sweet spot that, you know, repeat MD originated in?
Yeah. So with Chris, and he brought that opportunity up, we said, you know, well, might as well try it. And so when we did try it, we really didn't think anything of it until about 60 to 90 days later, when Chris had a follow-up call with his friend, Dr. Ben, and Dr. Ben was a raving fan overnight. And this is when no one was paying us because we were giving all of our software for free. And we had this one person that was a raving fan and happily paying us. And so we were like, all right, well, why is he happily paying us? What's going on with this industry? So we looked into it and he had a six-figure return on our software within the first 90 days. And we started looking into the industry itself, medical aesthetics, which is, you know, dermatologists that are in aesthetics, plastic surgeons and medical spas. And they had 2020 was about 40% was their best year ever, right? And 2021 was also the best year ever, right? We just had better and better years growing faster and faster. And we didn't know anything about the industry itself.
They called it the Zoom boom, because everybody saw themselves on Zoom and they couldn't go anywhere else. So they would go invest in their facial treatments.
And they had the time, right? Because when you think about aesthetic treatments, whatever treatment that you want, whether it's invasive or non-invasive, it takes time for recovery. And so a lot of people had that time. And so when that happened and we really looked into the industry, we said, okay, this is interesting. And we started hiring some consultants, hiring some industry leaders, getting on Zoom calls. And we really took that opportunity to fully immerse in the industry. And we did. And we fully immersed in the industry. And then we started building a new brand called RepeatMD. That's the company that we are growing and expanding today. That was the journey of just kind of finding that natural product to market fit and then working with all these professionals and truly understanding the pain points of this industry, which, you know, they're significant. Doctors didn't go to medical school to be a salesperson. And so what our product does is really engage and incentivize the consumer, or the patient in this case, and introduces that patient to all the different profit centers that cash-based physician has. So, you know, if you go to a dermatologist, what that might look like is you're going in for a medical visit, but the dermatologist has all these skincare products or all these non-invasive medical treatments that are aesthetic-based and cash-based. And how do I turn you from going for a medical visit into the awareness of, hey, we have all these aesthetic treatments and rewarding you for actually visiting, right? Rewarding you with those cash-based elective or aesthetic treatments. So it introduces you to those treatments, right? Because your dermatologist today might do all these aesthetic treatments and you have no idea, right? You're going to a medical spa, you're doing all these other things because they might not be showing you. And so we solved a major need initially. And now with our aesthetic marketplace, we're expanding even quicker, and we're the fastest growing software company in the aesthetic industry today. And yeah, go ahead, Chris.
And I'll tell you, one of the real key differentiators between restaurants and what, and I think this is the piece that really drove a home for us. We recognize that, hey, you know what? The ROI on a hamburger is a lot different than the ROI on a $4,000 laser package, right? So the consumer psychology is the same, because the woman who's booking her aesthetic treatments is doing it with the Starbucks coffee on her desk. So the same rewards app that works for Starbucks ultimately works for the aesthetics companies, but the opportunity is so much higher. They just have fewer chances. So for them, it's even more important to go in rewards, because Starbucks, hey, if one person doesn't buy, I got 10 million more customers right behind them. And that's true for restaurants. They have so much volume, but for aesthetics, they have those shots are precious, but they're all worth so much more. So creating that reward and retention strategy around that customer base, it was like just this boom, like this nexus of like the perfect technology and the perfect time and the perfect market. And honestly, all of our technology is based on QR codes. And thanks to our friend, the pandemic, that made a huge comeback too, right? So like some things had to like work out like perfectly in order, including, you know, me being in the attic and Phil being in restaurants and no restaurants and the pandemic coming in, for all of these, like this perfect storm of like perfect timing. So whenever they talk about entrepreneurs, like, you know, how much of it was luck and how much it was hard work, like we really have to attribute a lot of our success to being with the right idea in the right place at the right time. And then just having, you know, the right team to like know when it's time to move to the next place. Because I'll tell you, like when Philip founded VIP Insiders, he was putting his own cash into it, right? He had bet on himself. He was selling out from the restaurants and going all in on this. And then being that deep into restaurants, the industry, he's known to aesthetics and going full stop and going full pivot. I mean, like one of the reasons why I love Philip and why I'll follow him into the abyss and everywhere we go is real simple. It's because this is a guy that when he recognizes the right path, he will go all in on that path. So like, I trust that he will get the client experience, the success and everything, like once he's in, and he's not afraid to make those bold decisions. And I know this isn't like, you know, I'm not a paid spokesperson for Philip Sitter here, but you know, I think it's fair to say that's a big part of it for me.
Well, yeah. And you really described this perfect storm that you walked into, but I wonder if you can explain some of the needs of the industry that you've discovered, and then the type of software you're providing to really establish and help your customers. I'd love to know just not only just what you provide, but also what you hope to provide someday too as you grow your software.
Yeah, so I'm going to take that first crack at it, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Philip. But I want to start just by telling a story. Okay, so if you're a med spa owner or a doctor, what the big problem you have, it's a people problem, okay? Because you're going to hire people to create these elaborate systems for you. Maybe it's a referral system. You hire Becky. Becky creates you a great referral system where we're tracking referrals and we're putting them in the system. Or maybe you hire John and John creates a retention system where he's calling people up and he's creating memberships and packages. But now you're at the mercy of that employee because you really don't have a system without that person, right? So now what happens is you got this employee in, you put all this faith and trust and investment. They create this great system and then they get another job. Or then they want to open up their own business and they take away half your customers with them. And now guess what? You're screwed. They have literally left you in the trenches and you've got to dig your way out. And this is a story as old as time. I talk to doctors all the time. The turnover with the team, it's real. It happens. Or they're growing. And so what typically happens, they have these great systems. They lose the people. Boom. No more system. No more person. So the big need that we found is that doctors have to have, you know, robots, a system in place that's working for them in the background, regardless of their team. And I think that's what RepeatMD really steps in to fill that void. And to Philip's point, like he was saying, like, hey, they didn't go to school and open the business because they love to deal with marketing and sales. They want to transform people's lives. And so, Phil, I mean, I think that's like kind of my take on it. I know you see things similarly, but you also have a different lens to that as well.
Yeah. So just simply what we do, if you want to know what we do at RepeatMD, is we sell more high margin services by building a private label mobile rewards app, right? So think of it like we build a Starbucks rewards, but for an aesthetic practice, right? And so why rewards is really interesting, because if you look across all consumer industries, it's the one key marketing element that everyone has. So whether it's Sephora, McDonald's, Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, I mean, it just... whether it's restaurants or whether it's airlines or whether it's shopping, everyone has a rewards program that's a big business, especially Fortune 500 companies, right? There's not a brand that doesn't have one. Now, small businesses have their small version of that, which is typically some sort of punch card program or point-based program, but it's not this robust app that all these other brands have. And so what we realized is if we can be Starbucks Rewards for the aesthetic industry, the power of what we can do is really take that consumer, that patient, introduce them and educate them on all the different high margin services and treatments that they have to offer. And then we can start actually selling them something, which in our case is called the aesthetic marketplace, and where we sell memberships, packages, and treatment plans for that patient. Now, if you think about a medical spa today, it's a pretty overwhelming experience. You walk in, you have to get an hour consultation. You're at the mercy of the provider being in a good mood and having the time to explain all the different opportunities that you have. And that's it. And so from my background, restaurants, what it reminded me of, it's like walking into a restaurant without a menu, right? It's like, I have no idea what these people even do. And so they might, you know, they might be in a rush and tell me, hey, you just need some Botox, get out of here. And that's not necessarily the case. There's all these incredible non-invasive laser surgeries or treatments rather that can transform your, you know, your face or your body, but they necessarily don't have the time, especially if you're a younger millennial. And I think just a sidebar, people think millennials are like, 16 years old. No, millennials are all the way up to 42 years old now. Right. So when we talk millennials, like 30 to 42 years old. And, you know, a lot of times what happens is the patient doesn't really have a great experience. So we wanted to help all the patient experience. We wanted to use rewards to educate, to incentivize. What we wanted to do is make it easy, as easy as it is to buy a Frappuccino. Now it's as easy to buy a membership to an IV clinic, a med spa, or whatever the case is. And so,
imagine if you walked into a restaurant and the restaurant said, hey, so what are you here for? What are you having? Like, I don't know. What are my options? And that's kind of what we found in the aesthetics industry so far.
And so we had some amazing opportunities, and we've partnered with some of the most amazing brands in this space, or the capital laser equipment manufacturers, three of the five largest ones. So we have exclusive partnerships with BTL, right? They do the M-Sculpt Neo, Cyton Lasers out of Palo Alto, and Alma Lasers, right? Those are our partners. So every time they sell a piece of capital equipment, it comes with RepeatMD. So not only did you, so you invested $500,000 in this lasers. Well, I want to introduce you to RepeatMD. They're going to build your own private label mobile rewards app. It's going to introduce, it's going to educate and help sell more of these treatments that we have to offer. And so that's our value proposition. That's how we're growing so quickly. We take on about 100 to 120 new practices per month, trending to about 200 per month. We're ready in the UK, we're in Canada, we're in Mexico, we're in Honduras, about to be in Costa Rica. So we're expanding very quickly on those pieces. The product to market fit for our brand was unlike anything Chris and I have ever experienced before, right? And so now we went from zero employees to our first 10, and now we're right around 50. And we're going from 5,000 square feet to 15,000 square feet, and just keeping up now with scaling and, bringing on some executive hires.
Yeah. One foreign country you left off that list is California. We're also in California. That's a little Texas joke there at California. I don't know where I was going with that.
It's a joke on California.
Just a joke on California. I think that's, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, and my next question, which you kind of touched on already, was just going to be about client and customer acquisition, but it sounds like you have this model of going in with these technical partners, but how else are you finding new customers to tap into the platform, and what sort of feedback do you get once you have them on the platform?
I tell you, so the majority of our clients that are coming to us that are not supplier related are coming to us word of mouth from the other clients that we already have. One of the things that's really insane is that we haven't spent a dollar of marketing since we launched the company. We hired a CMO as early as like 2 weeks ago. He's just now getting spun up. It's because we were building our pipeline and building our funnel to be able to handle our throughput, so we didn't sacrifice any of the client experience. And honestly, marketing at any point in time, we could have launched in and started spending cash on that, but we were never going to sacrifice the client experience. We want to get them in, take them through a thorough training, build their platform, because each one of these is handcrafted, right? When we build these platforms, they're custom for that practice. It's not just like a repeat MD stamp. Like, we're building this custom for the brand. It's Amora Med Spa, it's Dr. Smith Med Spa, or Dr. Smith Plastic Surgery. And so they take time, care, and consideration. There's a lot of art and design that go into these. And so we never, like, that's our DNA. We're not some tech company that said, oh, we got some tech, let's figure out how to sell it. No, we're a client experience company, and we're building tech to support that client, you know, that customer journey and everything in between. So, you know, and now we're at the point, though, now that the pipeline's big enough, you know, and this is Texas, so I can talk about pipelines because this is what we know. Now we're going to be putting money into the marketing, but the majority of our clients have come through other clients that have had success. And I'll tell you the feedback, it comes in two forms, right? So any marketing company, any tech company that tells you 100% of people are like super happy and successful, they're lying to you. It's just, it's not the case, right? That's true for us too. But we have such a large section of clients that are truly happy. They're not all happy about the same thing though. Some people, man, they've been struggling to put together a referral system for a long time. Like, man, I'm handing out cards and then they lose the card and I got to keep up with the card and I got a spreadsheet. Like, if you can just do my referrals, I'm thrilled. Some people say just retention. Like, I just don't, I have a list of people, you know, 2 feet thick that I haven't seen in 2 years. If you can just help just keep them coming back. Others is like, man, I want to do memberships, or I do memberships, but every time I sell one, it's causing me pain because now that's one more credit card I have to chase down at the end of the month. So for every client, it's something different that we really touch on that's special to them. Some is just like, hey, I needed a way to text my people. Some, I just want to have that brand recognition on the cell phone. So it's crazy to think that we can really touch people in so many different ways, and no two clients really have this, get the same value from it, but everybody finds something to really connect to. And you know, with the ones that struggle, typically what that is, I find it's that people, if you don't internally, it's not part of who you are that you want to reward and you want to take care of your patients and like give them that extra special experience. If that's not who you are first and foremost, then the inverse is not going to be true, because they're not going to take care of you. Because reward systems at the heart of them show people that you care about them, like, before you sell them, right? Starbucks gives me a coffee. They give me something before they sell me the 10 million coffees they've sold me. And you've got to be bought in that if I take care of my customers, they're going to take care of me, my business, my family for the long haul. So if you look at like giveaways, like, oh, I don't want to give away anything, you know, then this is not for you, honestly. But if you do want to reward people and trust that they'll reward you back, then there's absolutely no reason why you won't come in, work with us, meet the team, love the team, and have a great relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it sounds like just in terms of growth, you've got a lot of growth happening. Do y'all ever think about other industries that this business model could be rolled into? Is that something down the road y'all have kind of in the back of your mind in terms of expansion? Although it sounds like you're very much taking advantage of this industry already.
Yeah, Repeat MD right now focused predominantly on medical spas, plastic surgeons, and dermatologists. We have a wide variety of doctors that are starting to come in now, whether it be OBGYNs or internal medicine or family practices and so forth, that are getting into cash-based treatments, right? So cash-based treatment might be a B12 shot, might be IV, might be hormone replacement therapy, and so forth. We're targeting our marketing towards one specific, like those three specifics that I mentioned earlier, but it's happening naturally. Will we start like kind of getting into small business and other things? Not with Repeat MD, right? We might revive VIP Insiders and so forth down the road, but we're really focused on Repeat MD and, you know, expanding it internationally. That's a full-time job, more than a full-time job as it is.
Yeah. I feel like it's such a huge market. Like, there's so many, like you mentioned earlier, medical professionals that provide a service, they have their own business, but they didn't go to school for business and marketing and those types of things. So you're really providing that service. But yeah, so you mentioned all this growth and you mentioned needing to keep up with that. So how are you keeping up with that? What do you have kind of on the horizon in terms of hiring or fundraising to really sustain that scale that you're working on?
I was just talking about hiring, and I'll tell you, being a tech company in Houston is one of the easiest hiring jobs on the planet. It's like you post an ad here in Houston for a tech company, a software company, and I get 100 applicants every hour, it seems. And the reason why is just because, think about it, you've got A&M, you've got U of H, you've got UT, right, that people come back home and so forth, and they don't want to just work in oil and gas. Right? They don't want to work in one of those industries in Houston that we're known for. They want to work in a fast startup environment. And there's not that many, right? Even the startups are kind of like oil and gas startups, right? And so that's a huge opportunity for us and makes hiring really easy to find great talent. And so we haven't had a problem at all hiring and finding awesome applicants. And we have an amazing culture where we take care of our people and they all have a chance to earn equity in this company and so forth. As far as fundraising goes, we get a call or email maybe once or twice a week by various growth equity partners, venture capitalists, et cetera. And so we've been really selective on when we wanted to raise. Right now, we're looking to raise probably in the summer, right? And that's going to be at a nine-figure valuation, right? So we've been doing all of this ourselves and bootstrapping and really increasing our ARR to something that's just the velocity of our growth and our retention rate being as high as it is. We're coming, our seed round will be a nine-figure valuation round. And so we're looking within 3 years to turn this into a 10-figure company.
In terms of like an exit strategy, is that something you're already thinking about just with the amount of growth and scaling you're doing? Is this something you can see IPOing or even a strategic acquisition?
Why we built the marketplace is we're going to heavily get into buy now, pay later financing, because right now you can actually buy a service or treatment from from their app, the private label app. And then what we want to do now is open it up to, hey, instead of paying, $4,000 or three payments of $1,000, then go ahead and just finance this treatment. So we're getting into fintech in a really, really impactful way, because fintech struggles with actually the acquisition piece, right? It's like, how do I let people know that financing is even a thing? So we're gonna take that industry. So we'll find a growth equity partner that is really fintech related. As far as IPOing, I would say 3 to 4 years we do something like that. As far as selling out and exiting, we're having like every single day here is a blast. Like we're having a ton of fun. I've exited out of restaurants and franchising, and I've done those things and was able to, create, a level of wealth that I'm comfortable with. And now we're just having fun every day. And so I'm, one of the sayings that I thought about was actually from Drake, the rapper. And he was talking about, I saw an interview with him and I really related to this piece. He said that they asked him like when he would stop doing music, and he said when it's not fun anymore. And so right now it's a lot of fun, but when it's not fun anymore, then we might completely exit. But we, I'm in it for the long haul. Chris is in it for the long haul. We're best friends, as you can probably tell. And we both have young families. We're together 7 days a week and traveling together. So we're having a blast. And go ahead.
Look, spice up the story. Next time it's like when I was on the phone with Drake last week, he was telling me, hey, Phil, when it's not fun, get out of it. It's a ton of fun, right? So look, we have a lot of runway in front of us as far as like things we can do. And what we love is being able to drive that innovation, right? I think we're on the right podcast because this is a podcast about innovation. And that is our source of like joy, passion, and like good feelings in our personal lives is driving the innovation. So as long as we're here and we're adding value and we're sticking to our core values and driving that, innovation for our clients' success, and we're the best people for the job to do it, then we're going to be here for the long run. I think it's probably too early to talk about IPOs. Those things are a few years down the road, but whatever path takes us to the point where we can serve the most people and the most clients, I think that's where we want to go. So if an IPO opens us up where we can help more business owners get started and establish stronger businesses and help more people coming into aesthetics make better decisions for their face and for their body and for their treatment plans, then we're going to stick around and we want to be a part of that journey, because this is something that, right now when you think about aesthetics and things like that, you think about like the crazy cat lady and the people that are like, fillers, where their cheeks are out to the moon, but that's not really what it is. And it's not fair that, and it's probably, stereotypes. Maybe that's the way it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. But now it's like, hey, they have treatments that can help you with like acne scarring. They have things that are really about your confidence. I see these, older guys with the noses that are like, just, I forget the actual technical name. I'm not a doctor, even though I play one on TV here. But like, if you see the results that these people that like they're life changing. And I talk to ER doctors that have got into aesthetics and they say, Chris, whenever I was an ER doctor, I would save people's lives, not so much as a thank you card or a call, hey doc, thanks for giving me 20 years back. No, but whenever I help a woman look beautiful on her wedding, whenever I help that gentleman get his smile back, that's when people are inviting me to their kids' graduations and things like that. Like, whenever you help somebody on their, you know, look the way they feel on the inside, you're really making a tangible difference. And the more we can educate and create like a frictionless experiment around this market and this industry, then we're serving, like, you know, we're growing a business, but we're also serving people at the highest level. And I think that's when you really have fun, right? Because there's a lot of people like, well, if I get rich, I have to hurt people or steal. Like, people have these real like bad ideas around like growing companies and making money and doing things. But the furthest going to be the truth. It couldn't be further from the truth with us, because we're really delivering, you know, good feelings and good things to people. And it's, you know, it's a blessing and it's a treasure to be able to do every day.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And like a true testament to how things have evolved. And there's probably some more evolution to be done in that sure. industry as people wrap their heads around the options out there and getting to learn about the options out there through RepeatMD. But one thing I wanted to ask, since y'all talk about being friends and also working together, I wonder what each of your roles are at the company in terms of like, who's the good cop, who's the bad cop? What type of relationship do y'all have?
That would be our COO. He's all those things. Yeah. Yeah, Chris is our VP of sales and I'm the CEO of the company. I'm a sales and marketing type of CEO. Like, that's where I like to be. I like to think of revenue drivers. I like to think about how we position ourselves and the story branding behind our brand. And, you know, Chris and I, we get along so well just because we have similar interests in those pieces. So really, good cop, bad cop, I think that we're just a very balanced company. Like, if I like, we just, when I was working in restaurants, I made a big mistake by hiring. I created this company. If you look back, we won the Best Workplaces Awards like 2 years in a row. And then I made the mistake when we expanded. I said, oh, okay, now that we're legit and expanding to multiple locations, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hire general managers of all these corporate restaurants and like they're going to know, you know, and so forth. And I did. And what I didn't realize was I was adapting the culture that we were bringing, which a lot of it was toxic, right? If, you know, maybe this manager was a Fridays manager and I thought he worked at Fridays, so he knows systems, so bring him in. And so what I realized at that time was I work more than I see anybody or see my family, right? So like net time, I work more than anything, right? I work more than I sleep. I work more than I see my family. I work more than I travel, all those pieces. So it's going to be really important for me in my future who I'm surrounding myself with, because that's who I'm going to become. So if someone's toxic, I'm going to become toxic. If someone's fun, I'm going to be fun. If we develop this work environment that's, you know, fun and challenging and growth oriented, then I'm going to be all those things. Yep. And so what we did at the very beginning, and it sounds corny, but it's true, is we had 9 employees that we were just crushing it. We were growing fast. We were doing an amazing job. We loved every day at work, smiling, but working hard. Like, all those things were true. So we created these core values that are really substantial for us. We have 6 core values. And the way we created them is by just asking people, like, what is it that we're doing? Like, what, like, why is this working so well? And so we created those core values based off things we actually are doing and we want to continue to do. And so now that we've scaled from like 10 employees to 50 employees, it's even better. We're having even more fun. Like, the culture and positive environment and people's quality of life and all those things, like, everyone is having a great time. And the reason why we know that is because when we go out together, we're all friends. When we're about to all go on a Cancun trip together, the entire company, we're all super excited, right? We go to concerts together. And this is like a substantial amount of people. We're not talking about a small company of 5 people, we're 50, right? And so we're just having a blast. And it's important to me because I got to have fun every day. It's one of my personal core values. And then Chris is a fun guy. So it's easy for us.
You know, I'll tell you the reason why I like to, you know, all those things are true, but you know, working with Philip is something, it's one of my greatest joys, because we have this really radical approach to honesty in the conversation. So we'll get in a room together or on the phone together at 8 o'clock. I'll call him up. I'll say, pal, what are you doing? I start selling him. I say, are you sitting down? Like, hold on. I've got the ultimate, I'll tell him, Philip, I've got the ultimate solution. You're not going to believe how great this is. Then I don't tell him, of course. I make him sign up for my ebook and give me his, you know, his email address where I give him the whole thing. So we spin each other up, right? We get each other hyped, and we're always thinking about it. And so it's nice when you have a partner that's always out there thinking about like what's next, and like you're both just like thinking about ways to get better and do things better. And then also whenever we have like big initiatives and we're making those big crossroads in the company, like we'll sit in a room and like we'll tear each other's ideas to shreds. Like we will like fire back and go back and forth. And I mean, it gets super hot. But the thing is, when you have ultimate trust in somebody, and you know that like everything this person is saying is for the betterment and the best, like it's best idea wins. And so it's two gladiators going to war over ideas. What happens is you're spinning up these ideas and you're really crystallizing them. And then by the time it gets to the company level, like you have things that are really ready to run. Like they take great form. Now we have like our COO and the rest of our team that shapes and molds these ideas. But you know, for me, all the fun is, you know, that 8 o'clock phone call and it buzzes and it's Philip. And I know he calls me at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Like it's only going to be good news. Like there's something like on the horizon. My wife's sitting there at my 2-year-old. She's like, who's that you're texting? And I'm over there smiling. Like it's my high school crush. I'm like, who do you think it is? It's old Phil. We're talking about ideas and the Cancun trip and this and that. So, you know, it couldn't be better. And you know, it's hard, but knowing that you got somebody that you can trust in your corner 100% that like, I can say the most radical to him and he's going to bounce back and take it the right way and we're going to make something good out of it. Like I don't think you could ask for like a better work relationship, period. So it's great.
Yeah. And that's how we run the whole company. Like, and the radicalness is true, right? Like when we go at it, like we will go at it, but it's never personal. It's like, let's get to the bottom of this. And no one takes it personally, right? It's like one of those things that if you build enough trust, you can be honest with people. And it's not an ego thing whatsoever. And I think the ego thing is like what's really important. It's like, hey, are we all in this together? And that's also why we're so generous with the equity grants in our company, right? It's like we want people to have equity in our company, especially the employees. I invest in a lot of decentralized things, right? Whether it's crypto or NFTs and so forth. We almost run this company like a decentralized company where everyone has a stake or everyone can earn a stake. And then we even run the departments where it's kind of their own ecosystem. And the clients kind of go through that as well. And so it's been fun to do it, and it's been very successful up to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's very clear just by how much you each talked about the culture and the importance of that dynamic that y'all are really focused on and tuned into providing that culture. I wonder, and this might be related or it might not be at all, but I wonder what each of you wish you'd known before, you know, starting the business, joining the business.
I'll take a first crack at what I wish I would have known. You know, obviously I think anybody would look back and say, man, I wish I would have known we needed that feature, this feature and that feature right before you start. But if you wait till you have the perfect tech to launch, then you're never going to launch. Right. I think if I would wish I would have known anything, I wish I would have, you know, known what it really was going to take on the personal level. Right. So I've always been, you know, around the idea centric and coming up with like, you know, the creativity side of it. I think early on in the journey, I didn't really appreciate how important it was to get, you know, to gain consensus and to really, you know, to get buy-in across the board and to work with people and how impactful it was going to be that, you know, creating value in their lives is ultimately what's going to create value in my life. And now I think one of my greatest senses of like pleasure and joy is that like when I see people growing and flourishing within the organization, like that's when I know I'm doing my job. Because before I had this real like limited belief where it's like, I have to be the one that does 2 million in sales and that's my main value. Then I said, well, okay, if I can train one more person, then okay, now that's my value. Now I've got 4 million. But then I realized along the way, like, hey, leadership is really about, can I take this guy and not turn him into a $2 million seller, but can I turn him into a leader that can create 5-6 more and turn those leaders into leaders? And I wish I would have known that sooner. And now granted, you know, Philip's done a lot and he's helped really coach me along this path. Again, that's like that, you know, he helped open my eyes. He's one of the people that really said, hey, Chris, like, you know, you're a bottleneck to your own success. Like if you could just take what you're doing and teach people how to be that and then coach that themselves, you're a lot more valuable to yourself and the company. I said, yeah, no kidding. That's actually a really great point. But I think I'm grateful that we're still early into this and I realize how important that is. And I can use that with all of our growth going forward, because I'll tell you, you know, 10 people that become leaders are way more valuable than one leader leading 10 people.
I guess just to kind of wrap up, I wonder, and you mentioned this earlier about the hiring aspect of being based in Houston, Phil. You said Houston's a great place to hire. So I wonder, what else has it been like being based here in Houston as you've expanded now to several markets across the world? What does Houston have special to be your headquarters?
I'll tell you something honestly that I told Chris in the car yesterday. We just did a trade show in Miami, and Miami is just, I haven't been to Miami in a long time, but it seems like everyone has got a gold chain and every girl's in aesthetics and every guy is driving a nice car. And I was just like, my God, this is a great way to go bankrupt very quickly. And I told Chris, I was like, you know what? Houston is undervalued. And this was a real conversation. I said, you know why Houston's a little undervalued? It's because there's not a lot to do here. And so that gives you the opportunity to really focus in on your work. And you don't have, like, if you're in Miami, what are you competing with? You're competing with your employees going out every night. You're competing with boats. You're competed with all these activities and all, like, it's crazy. But here you get a lot more focused work done, because I mean, what are our pastimes here? Like, what do we get to do? We get to go to restaurants. Like, that's about it.
This doesn't sound like something you're going to see.
It's a great place to start a company.
I see the Houston Commerce Committee saying, "Hey, Houston's a great place to start a company. Not a lot to do here." That's perfect. That's the headline, huh?
Hey, but if you think about it, it is true. It's like, there's, in my opinion, not that much to do. And so what you have the opportunity to do is focus on your business. And, you know, focus on all those pieces and not be as distracted, right? So when you're a tech startup or a company, you really need a lot of focus. You really need a lot of that. So I'm only partially kidding, but really, Houston provides a great ecosystem if you're a tech company in particular. That's stability for sure. But also, like I said, if you're hiring for something that's not a typical industry in Houston, you have such an amazing opportunity. So I could see why Houston is growing as fast as we are on the tech side, right? You've got a great place to live, a great place to grow family, and a great place to recruit people, right? And so with remote, that even becomes even easier recruiting people. We try to do our best to, we try to do like a conscious decision on hiring people from Houston. Just because that's something that we believe in. We believe in the opportunity of coming into the office. And, you know, we do a hybrid. Some people are full-time in the office. Some people are hybrid. Some people are remote. But we like to hire out of Houston just to, you know, we want to do our part to grow this. And we want to be a unicorn out of Houston. We, you know, Chris, a long time ago, wrote, I don't remember who he wrote this to, but they were, what was it? It was some sort of
Houston business.
Yeah. Well, you did something about, you know, we applied for something and Chris went all in on saying, like, we are committed to staying in Houston. We're committing to be a $1 billion company out of Houston. And we're committed to help shine a light on Houston on growing more of that tech space. And so, yeah, we've stayed true to that.
And I'll tell you, it's a lot easier when it's 110 degrees outside to get people to actually want to stay in the office where it's nice and AC. I can imagine in Palo Alto when it's 70 degrees every day, people don't want to be indoors doing nothing. So, you know, that's another perk. Yeah. It's the heat. We're spinning all the Houston negatives and the positives. Like, we love the city and the limited activities.
Well, I was just going to, my spin on it is that Houston is it's the people that are hardworking. It's not that there's not necessarily anything to do, because, you know, people can do things, people could travel places instead of work, but it's like the Houston mentality is, it's like, you know, these wildcatters, these hardworking, these bootstrappers, bootstrappers. So
I like that.
That's the mentality too.
Maybe I'll change my talk track. I like
that. Yeah, that's definitely more friendly. Thank you, Natalie. You can work as our PR at any time. Also, you have to understand that me and Philip both have toddlers. So our spin on what there is to do is very, like, we have a different outlook on life, because even if there was a ton to do, we wouldn't be doing it. So we're not the right people to ask anyway. Maybe there is stuff to do. No one's telling us about it.
Yeah, y'all are too busy working to find out what you do, working and raising your family. But no, this is great. And always love a hot take on Houston. So thank you so much for this. And it's really been great to learn about Repeat MD and everything that you're doing and the huge industry y'all are really tackling. So I appreciate the time today.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.